It's a bunch of folks who are waiting to get through to Judith Orloff, and I'm hoping you'll hang on too to get your question on the air. Also, a couple of good ones that people had been sending to me, and with apologies to a previous caller, feel free. It's a great way to keep in touch in the month that we won't be on the air together again on Coast to Coast, at Deacon Punnett, great Twitter feed, and I love to keep in touch with you during the week. But the question was about ghosts and whether it was normal for a ghost to show itself to you while you're awake and then while you're asleep. We'll get the answer to that question coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So what do you think? What about that interesting question about a ghost that makes an appearance in the one form and a waking state and then later in a dream? Kind of reminds me a little bit of Dickens.
Yes, exactly. Well, in Second Sight, I talk about different kinds of dreams. So first you have to ascertain which kind is it. Is this a psychological dream where a dark figure is coming to you that could represent somebody from your past, an abusive father, a boyfriend who betrayed you, or whatever? You always have to ask yourself that so that you don't too easily misconstrue what the psychological message is, if there is one, and interpret that as a ghost. All right. So you first have to look at yourself, always in dreams. When I have a dream, I always ask myself, what psychological material is getting activated? My anxieties, my fears, is this something from the past? And if it is, then I work with it, and I suggest my patients to do the same. But if you're really convinced that this is a ghost or a spirit from another realm, that's a different story. And you can have visitations or guides that could come through in many forms. They could come through in dreams. They could come through in waking life. They could come through in intuitions. You know, sometimes you might have a sense that somebody is near you by the bed. You know, in Second Sight, I talk about all these different phenomena and how to interpret them. Because loved ones, you know, like to hover by the bed at night. You see, when we're particularly vulnerable, and I talk about this in the dream section of Second Sight, is when you go into the hypnagogic state. The hypnagogic state is the state between sleep and waking. When you're just drifting off to sleep, but you're not quite asleep yet, that's when the doors of perception open and you can have visitations. That's when they kind of sneak in. And the same is true when you wake up in the morning, when you're going through the transition from sleeping to waking. And so be very aware of what happens, you know, during that time. And if you ever have guidance or voices that come to you or a sense of something you want to remember, keep a dream journal and write it down by your bed. Otherwise, these kinds of revelatory perceptions may slip away. So in terms of the answer to your caller's question, yes, that's possible. Many forms. Guides can take many forms. You know, it's not, and they can take many forms and dreams. They could come through as a cranky old lady who's hitting you over the head with a stick but telling you something meaningful to an angel in white robes. It's the same spirit, but it manifests in different forms. It's, spirit isn't as direct as the linear mind would like it to be. You know, it's playful. It comes through in different forms. It wants to test you to see if you recognize, you know, your guides. It's
sure.
Very, very playful. And there's a cosmic humor to it all, too, that I want everyone to be aware of. Now, there are many cosmic humor messages that come through. I had, in Second Sight, I talk about the psychiatrist who was very meaningful to me in my early life trying to get in touch with my intuition. And he helped me see that I wasn't crazy and I had to integrate it into my life. But then later on, we stayed in touch over many years. And when he died, his wife invited me to the gathering honoring his life. And after that, I had a dream about him. And in the dream, he came to me, and nobody could see him but me. And I said to him, Jim, are you dead? And he looked at me, and he said, I don't really see it that way.
I love that.
So, you know, it's funny sometimes. It's not always dark and scary and all of that is very light-filled and funny and full of love. Those who have passed on, and I tell my patients this, those that have passed on who you love, their spirit stays with you. And it's possible to communicate with them through your heart and through your meditations. if you just ask to do so, just extend your consciousness, not with your mind, but with your heart, and ask to connect with your mother or your deceased husband or whoever it is that you're wanting to connect with. I can't guarantee you they'll answer. Not all of those who've passed on are interested in communicating anymore because they're on to other things. And I wouldn't take that personally. It just is how it is. You know,
Lisa.
It's very different. But a lot of times they will. And I know I have that relationship with my father who passed on in 1998. I mean, I feel like he's my guardian angel watching over me.
Lisa is in Van Nuys, California, on Coast to Coast for Dr. Judith. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi. Ian, prayers for you and your
Thank you.
Your health. Okay. I've been having some pretty bad GI problems that recently just got like so much worse. And I'm working with a medical intuitive healer. And I'm working, and my picture passed in front of John of God. And I'm sure you've heard of the healing entities of light at the Casa. And you're split, and they send you these herbs, and you take the herbs, and then you connect with the healing entities. And so I do that. I talk to them, and I feel them, and I see light, and I'm very much in touch with that. And I'm just really concerned because I'm wondering if you can see, am I going in the right direction?
Okay. Now let's get to that. Let's get to an answer right away. Lisa,
okay.
You've been waiting for a while.
You know, my sense is that you need to go to a traditional medical doctor and be evaluated, and that, you know, you need to get some stool tests to see if you have parasites or, you know, bacteria, and to rule that out. You must rule that out. Because sometimes people jump to spiritual healers before they do the common sense work that could be treated easily. So that's what I would suggest.
So what type of doctor would I go to for that?
A GI doctor.
Yeah. You gotta check all the boxes, Lisa, and I'm hoping we get a good report from you sometime in the future.
Stool cultures. Tell him to do stool cultures. I think, you know, you might find something there.
Robert is in Fresno, Texas, and God bless you, Lisa, and that, I know that's a lot of work ahead, too. East of the Rockies, Robert for Dr. Judith Orloff. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello, Judith.
Hi.
And Ian.
Hey.
How are y'all doing?
Great.
Okay. You know, I need to know if there's a connection between, in your opinion, deja vu and the correlation between, this life and the last life.
This life and the next life?
Or this life and the last life.
Oh, in the last life.
Like reincarnation.
Oh, deja vu. Absolutely. You know, there's deja vu is the sense that you've already seen something, or that somebody you meet, you know, it's like a reunion rather than somebody new, or you walk into a house and you feel like you've been there before, or walk into a building. And what that is, deja vu, and I talk about this in Second Sight, is a form of intuition. And it's something to be taken very seriously. Whenever I have a deja vu about somebody, I always follow through with them. And even if I'm like in a restaurant, and I sense a connection with somebody in a booth that I don't know, I will go up to them and talk to them. You know, because
do you think there's a correlation with reincarnation?
I personally do believe in many lives, and I think our past lives and what we've experienced in terms of consciousness has a profound effect on who we are now. And sometimes we meet people from the past who we interact with now. Edgar Cayce talks about, you know, in terms of soulmates, he talks about this, how we can have, you know, many soulmates who are reincarnated in this life, and we have the potential of choosing from many in this life. There's not just one. But, you know, that's my own personal belief system, but I come from a Taoist framework. And so in that framework, you know, we believe in karma and coming back and working through karma over many lives.
Brad, west of the Rockies, Lincoln, California, on Coast to Coast. Brad?
Thank you for taking my call, Ian. And love and light to both you and Dr. Judith.
Thank you.
My question is, I had an accident back in 94, and they had to fuse my spine with rods. Right. I have been studying esoteric shamanism for about the last 12 years and opening up the chakras, and the problem I'm having with is those rods in my back seem to be causing a block. Now, I don't want to go through what it's going to take. Is there another way around opening up that lower chakra in my core chakra? Could that have something to do with why I'm getting a block there? Because I've been a healer all my life. I didn't know it.
Right. That's a great question. This is such an important question. On my website, drjudithorloff.com, I have a source of referrals, and I spent a long time compiling this. What I would suggest for you is that you get an energy healer, not a shaman. A shaman is a bit different. Just a Reiki energy healer or somebody who really is good at channeling energy so that they can put that energy in your lower back and soften it up and work around the rod so you can avoid another surgery. And I think your solution will be a subtle energetic solution. You're so open. You will be open to it. But there's a, I wouldn't say a block there, but I would say a lot of condensed energy that's not going in the right direction. And I think if you had the energy healer, it could really help. I think there is a more simple solution to this than surgery.
First-time caller Teresa is in Nevada City on Coast to Coast. Teresa?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. It's kind of experience. About back in the 80s, my first love broke up, devastated me, and I was living at Santa Barbara at the time, and I decided the only thing I could do was go up to a cliff and look at the full moon. So I took off my motor baton, started up the path, and it was like a tunnel of bushes. Mm-hmm. As I started up, a man jumped out and knocked me off my scooter. Mm-hmm. And I ended up uphill. He was downhill. And we stared at each other. And then he looked above me, and I could see his eyes go white. And he turned around and ran away. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped on my scooter and got the heck out of there.
Yeah, good
my mom
you.
Will tell you, it was from all the novenas she said for me, that her team came through.
Her team
that
did.
Sometimes the best thing to do is to get out of there. That is smart.
Yeah, but I mean, I saw his eyes look and just get huge. Hmm. I was standing there trembling and just like, oop, he turned around and just ran away.
Well, that's good. That's a tribute to your own power.
And I'd like to know what else he saw, too. Whatever he saw looking up at you that made him do that. Greg is in Boise on a wild card line on Coast to Coast. Greg?
Good morning. It's nice to speak with both of you.
And
nice
you.
I
have always had extremely vivid dreams since I was a young boy. And I have some PTSD nightmares now, but... they even called me the Dream Weaver in basic training, as I would
wow.
wake up every morning and tell everybody the dreams I had.
Wow, that's fantastic.
But I keep having this dream. My wife is from Korea. We've been married 27 years together, more than that. And, you know, there's no problems anywhere with us, but I've been thinking about sending her back to Korea because all the crazy things that are happening in the U.S. But... just
don't
to be
that.
Safe. I don't feel she's safe. And
I'm confused. Why would somebody from South Korea not be safe in the U.S.?
Well, I just think with all this Department of Homeland Security and these drills they're having, like they had in St. Louis, where they tore all these people's houses apart for martial law drills and stuff. I don't know. I have a feeling, and my feelings usually come true.
Right.
Anyway, I have this dream about my wife. She goes back to Korea, and she hooks up with this young American guy over there and has a baby girl, which, you know, I know that's crazy, and my wife says dreams are always the opposite of what is going on, and she has been my angel since for about 10 years because I fractured my back 10 years ago, much like the gentleman before that just called. And,
well, let's get an answer to this. This is interesting. Go ahead, Judith.
Yes, I mean, my intuitive sense is that I agree with you. She is your angel and that she needs to be with you. And I think she'll tell you that, won't she?
Yeah.
Have you asked her that? She wants to be with you.
Apart from me at all. And I don't like even to, you know, leave the house or leave her, you know. When I go, I usually take a trip to South Dakota every fall to work on the farm as little as I can do. And you know, after, you know, just a several days, I want to come back where when I was younger, I'd stay there for 2-3 months, you know.
But, that's all right. But I, you know, my intuitive sense is just to love her madly and accept her. You're afraid right now for a number of reasons. And I don't think it has to do with her. She wants to be with you. You ask her, and I'm pretty sure that's what she's going to tell you, and you must respect that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I think that's really good advice. Jeff is in Southwest Michigan on Coast to Coast for Dr. Judith Orloff. Jeff?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm a Ouija board experimenter.
How's that going for you?
Well, I'll tell you, it was my intuition that led me towards the experimentation with what I call occult or the parapsychological manifestations and things like this to, you know, prove for myself whether or not there was something to it. Now, I've read lots of books from the 1970s about, oh, what was it, psychic discoveries behind the Iron Curtain.
Yeah, that was a good book.
Mm-hmm. And there were other books but from Ingo Swann, Kiss the Earth Goodbye.
Yeah, Ingo Swann, interesting guy.
Yeah, I just, you know, always had an interest in this. I used to read Edgar Allan Poe, but, you know, where was the proof? Where was the evidence?
So what have you learned? What have you learned from your experimentations?
It's true. There's something more to this life than we understand or know, whether it's physics or whether it's the God particle, the Higgs boson, or whatever you want to call it. But it's there. However, the downside is the psychiatry of the people, the psychoses of the people of the world hasn't changed a bit. They're still as superstitious and as fanatical as ever about, you know, ingrained ideas of what they think is, I guess, morally right or ungodly or whatever. And I can swear and attest that if you are a serious experimenter in the unknown, in the science of it, and you are studying and really trying, and you don't have all these certified professional degrees and institutions behind you, you will be marked as a witch or a social outcast. You might as well be walking around with the red letter A from like from the old story of the
scarlet letter.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
Because people can witness it for themselves, and when they see it happen, they can't handle it.
That's interesting. Remember, of course, the scarlet A was in reference to adultery. So I'm assuming it's not that you got a scarlet letter for that, but. Yeah, you know, the Crucible perhaps might be a better example of all of that. May the experiments continue to give you some insight. That's all we're talking about is where do we get our insight? Who is messaging us? Angels, ghosts, dreams? What do we make of all of these different ways of getting messages, and how do we act on them in ways that are productive? If, in fact, they're not just us talking to us. And that's always a possibility, as Dr. Judith Orloff talked about, too, is trying to assess your dream. Is it a psychological dream? Whenever I have a dream where I feel like something is happening, I ask myself, if I'm everybody in this dream, if it's me talking to me, what is me trying to tell me? And that's a good way to start exploration of a dream too. We still got a little more time then, and everybody's lining up right now to ask questions of Dr. Judith Orloff. You can find out more about what she has going on, seminars and other things, by clicking on her name on our website, coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back with the last half hour of open lines for her next on Coast to Coast. Talking about angels, ghosts, and dreams, all the messaging that goes on around us with Dr. Judith Orloff. Hear that song, In Dreams, by Roy Orbison? I can never hear that song and not think of Blue Velvet. Anybody who's ever seen that David Lynch movie, Blue Velvet, knows the scene I'm talking about. It's really one of the creepiest things ever. And I'd put that, the weirdness, the ookiness of that scene, of them lip syncing to that song, over anything from Jason or Freddie or Michael or whatever. I can never get that out of my head. We got enough time, though, to get your call in, so we'll get through as many callers as we can. Make room for you. Coming up next on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. So Jessica is in Florida. We'll get to her right away, but I can't remember. Did we leave anything hanging there, Dr. Judith Orloff? Did we? Was there anything unresolved before we move on?
I don't think there's anything unresolved, but a point I would like to make again is that there are different types of dreams, one of which is psychological. And so if you have an anxiety dream, let's say, and somebody is chasing you on the edge of a cliff and you're being chased, it is so good to be able to look at who that pursuer is so that you don't have that going subterranean in your psyche all the time. Is it the abusive father? Is it somebody who did you wrong? Is it the boss who doesn't appreciate you? So that you can deal with it, and then the dream won't recur. No, in Emotional Freedom, I talk about the different types of dreams and in Second Sight, because I write a lot about dreaming. It is so important to me that you want to know what's pursuing you in terms of anxiety, depression, concerns, so that you can heal that. Now, dreams are healing, and if I may, I'd like to announce my Esalen workshop in Big Sur on July 27th through 29th.
Yeah, I had plugged that earlier, but I didn't have a lot of details on that, so good time to fill that in.
Thank you. It's a weekend intensive on developing your intuition for those who really want to develop your intuition in a beautiful setting on the cliffs of Big Sur with natural hot springs and massage and a true retreat. I think it's so important to go on a retreat. Now, I get replenished there, you know, every now and then, get away from your regular life, you know, so you can get some perspective. So and it's on the website on Coast to Coast, and it's also on my own website. So I just wanted to
love that. No, good. Sounds great. Jessica's in Florida on Coast to Coast. We'll get to as many callers as we can between now and the top of the hour. Jessica?
Hello. Let me just start off saying I'm actually pretty young. I'm only 17, and even though I'm 17, I've actually experienced a lot of spiritual things because it has run in my bloodline from my father's side. I've been having this really odd dream where I'm placed in such this lovely, magnificent room, and I'm being faced. It is almost like a church, but I see no holy figures there. I don't see any deities or anything. And there's this man talking to me. And this man's voice is so confident. And I know I've known this man almost since the day I was born. And he's talking to me. And I'm sorry, I'm kind of shaken up by this, but I don't know why. And he's been talking me through some of these really big life changes that are going to come up for me. You know, my futures in life, my friends that I'm going to make, these choices that I've been put into, I want to put into action. And he's been talking to me about it. And every time I ask, who is he or what is he, I wake up. And I don't know if this is psychological. Is he, you know, is he an angel that's there to talk to me? Is he something else that's there to guide me?
Judith?
It feels to me that this is a guide of yours. And when you said, oh, it's so comforting, and he talks about the changes ahead, I was getting chills as you were talking. And so I think if he returns did you write down what he said, first of all?
Well, the thing is that when I wake up, it's so vivid, but when I go to write it down.
You do want to write it down. Memory can play tricks with you on these things, and this dream is too important.
And when I write it down, I can't remember really what he says. No, I remember it very vaguely when, you know, it's so fresh in my mind, but when I try to recall it, it's like, no, you can't listen to it. Don't listen to it.
All right, then this is what I suggest. You can't find it with your linear mind, but if you go into meditation, I would go somewhere in nature if you can and just sit quietly, get some flowers around you or hold a flower and sit and breathe and very lightly just invite the message back in. You can't force it. Don't try too hard, but just see what comes. And even if you just get one little message, write it down in your journal. But don't try too hard. It's right there hovering on the outer part of your consciousness. You just can't find it with your awake mind. That's just how these things work. So, but I get a really good feeling about this guide. And whatever he told you, it's in you somewhere. And so I would do that, but you have to be very relaxed, and you can't push it, and you don't get panicked or anxious about not retrieving it. You just have to open yourself and relax and do this throughout your life. If you can get a copy of Second Sight, this would really help you in particular. So I write about when I was an adolescent and some of these same experiences that you're having now. I think it might trigger something in you. So I would suggest that.
Got a tweet here from Aiden, who said, if you see the truth and it makes you sad, is it not better to fake delusion to keep a happy illusion alive?
No.
No?
No, I'm a big believer in the truth. And life is sad. Life is happy. Life is, you know, just a really elegant mix of so many different things. I mean, you don't want to dwell on the negative, but you do want to see the truth. And I don't believe in staying in delusion. I mean, my whole mission is to crack through delusion and see as much truth and light as we can here. So I'm not the right one to talk to about perpetuating a delusion.
Let's get to Greg in Regina, Canada, on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Greg.
Hello, Ann. Hello, Dr. Judith. I'm enjoying this. I got a call that our neighbor, a lovely lady, great friend, had died in a tragic accident, and the funeral was in about an hour. Mm-hmm. I was stuck in the basement because my main drain was plugged, and I was trying to clean it out with a snake, so I had to say sorry. But as I was working on that, I heard this music upstairs, but I had not left the radio on. So when I was done, I went up, switched on the computer, and as it was turning on before the sound card could begin working, I heard this music just hovering in front of me around the monitor. It was a man's voice, but I couldn't tell which language was being spoken, and there were strings and horns, but a modern arrangement as if it was sampled music, and I was sure it was an angel. You know?
Yes, and did you, in terms of the man who was having the funeral, did you ask about his history, if he was a musician or he had anything like that around him?
It was a she, and she was a musician. She sang in her Presbyterian church, and she was a Glaswegian with an incredible twisted sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And her husband was also Celtic, a wonderful neighbor, a Welshman. But
I think you have a little angel guide in your neighbor.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's funny. It kind of reminded me, and sorry about your friend. It kind of reminds me of there was an old story. I don't know if there's a Swiss theologian, a guy named Karl Barth, and he was asked to come and speak at the University of Chicago, and he was giving a lecture, and he was talking about the Garden of Eden, and he was talking about Adam and Eve and the snake, and he was talking about the conversation that had taken place. And a very smart, I'm sure, University of Chicago student approached him afterward and said, "Tell me, Dr. Barth, that you believe in talking snakes." And Karl Barth said to him, he said, I'm really not interested in talking snakes. I'm interested in what they have to say." That's such a great answer, because that's what we learn. It's the fact that it happened, what did we learn from it? What do we get from that experience? Todd is east of the Rockies in upstate New York on Coast to Coast. Todd?
Yes. Hi, Ian, and Doctor.
Hi, Todd.
Hi. I'm concerned about what you're opening up to, because, you know, a lot of times when people talk about spirit guides, they don't even know where they're originating and what their motives are and what they're up to. And, you know, my mother passed away 5 years ago, and we used to talk about eternal things all the time. And I'm pretty open to God and eternal things, but she's never tried to contact me, you know, and I know that she would have. And sometimes when I hear some of the things that are shared by the deceased loved ones, they don't talk about a lot of eternal things and really important things. And it makes me wonder, because I know biblical scripture talks about familiar spirits that are familiar with families and ancestors and bloodlines, and could it be that these are spirits that trick, like it says, you know, even Satan can act like an angel of light. Could they be tricking people into thinking that these are their loved ones, you know?
Well, that's a really good point. You have to, but my point is, you have to trust. If your mother did come to see you, I know you would know her. I know. I don't think you could be tricked. I really don't think so. You and your mother had something, you know, quite special. And I don't. You have to trust your intuition with this. When you have any kind of impish or dark energies, it feels a little off. It feels a little untrue, or more than a little sometimes. And that's where you really have to know yourself. If somebody appears or, you know, comes to you in a dream, but it isn't, you know, you don't feel comfortable with it, ignore it. You have the power to send all this away. You know, you can't feed into it. And you have to go towards the love and the light and trust your intuition about that. And if ever you get advice that is creepy or bad or something you don't feel good about, just send it back to where it came from. Really, that's what they teach us in Taoism, that, you know, we have the power here in the human realm, and that we have to stay true, you know, to the love and to the goodness, and that you can sense that, but you've got to practice your intuition. You've got to be very sure of yourself. This is the confidence that comes from tuning in. And you've got to be sure of yourself. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff out there, like you say, but you just go towards what you believe in. I mean, you have a strong directional finder there. I can sense it in you.
Bad psychic touching. Let's go to Raymond, who's in Orange County, California. Wildcard line for Dr. Judith. Go ahead, Raymond.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Glad to be on the show. Just a couple of things. One is, as a kid, you know, I had a various experience with the Ouija board. As a teenager, maybe 15 years ago, we did actually make, me and maybe four of my friends actually made an object move. And then we also had a result where we heard a female voice actually say run at one point.
Did you run?
It was a little scary.
Did you run?
Yes, all of us ran. We're all about 15, 16 years old, and it was pretty weird experience. So that was one part of what I wanted to say. And then
did you run back?
Yes. We actually did keep on going for a little bit. I mean, I can probably go on for an hour.
No, but then you ran back to the Ouija board. You came back to it then?
Yes.
Okay, so you ran, but you didn't keep running. You ran back to
no.
The Ouija board. Okay, all right. Interesting. You had a question?
Yeah, and then my second question is about dreams. So I just had a question. It's a certain thing that occurs with me, so I don't even know if it's something, but... it's at different points in time, I'll be, you know, my car or just thinking. And for some reason, it feels like I'll be remembering a past dream that I had dreamt previously. So I don't know if this rings a bell or.
Yeah, that happens before.
Go ahead, Judith.
Yes, that happens where you're driving along and suddenly you have a recollection of a dream.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, that happens. That's how it happens. Sometimes you're doing something totally different. And another place where dreams come through, intuitions come through, is in the shower. You know, that's like a psychic phone booth in there where you just go under the water and you're relaxed. And a lot of intuitions can come through in the shower, the bathtub, or in some kind of body of water.
Jonathan, west of the Rockies on coast to coast for Dr. Judith Orloff, trying to get everybody on who was originally on hold and then maybe some of the extra callers.
Hi, Jonathan. Hi, Dr. Orloff. Thanks for taking my call. Basically, what happened to me, I'm an author. My book went with small press, and I've gotten to know a lot of people. And I did a book signing down at Barnes & Noble on the 3rd Street Promenade. And I live in the area, and I walked down to the the promenade to get some lunch. And I had helped an older man who was a professor at Pepperdine, just a wonderful man. I helped him get his book published and did everything I could to help him with the book. And then when the book came out, you know, I got a copy of the book. He sent it to me. And when I went down to eat at Chipotle, on the way back, I stopped at Barnes & Noble to try to make arrangements for him to get, and you'll see what this has to do with angels, because this was a profound experience. And I tried to see the community relations manager to line up a book signing for this man. And I left, and I was walking up the street. And sometimes the street is heavily traveled, but this particular day, I mean, there wasn't a lot of people out. It was the afternoon. And I was walking up in between California and Washington, and I had the book in my left hand, and I heard this person yell out, "Is the book any good?" And I thought that there was a conversation going on between two people behind me, but my sense was that I wasn't sure, and I turned around and looked, and it was this one man. And I slowed down, and he was looking right at me. And I stopped, and we started talking, and he said, "Is the book any good?" And I said, "Actually, it's very good." And I said, "But," he said, "well, what's it about?" And he was like the Dalai Lama. He was filled with joy. He was just
right,
just filled with joy and happiness.
Okay.
And I could feel it, and it opened my heart. And we had this conversation about this book. And he said, "So what will you do?" He said, "You know, tell me a little bit about the book." And I told him about it. And he said, "Well, what will you do?" I said, "Well, I'm trying to get this man for a book signing." And he said, "So you're pretty connected." And I said, "Yeah, I know some people." He said, "You know a lot of people?" I said, "Yeah, I know quite a few people."
Okay.
And then
we're going to run out of time here, I'm afraid, before we get to the ending. And it's a good story. So
here's the end. And then he said, "Well, I have to go." Well, I turned around. I said, "Okay, good meeting." We shook hands. I looked into his eyes. He had these incredible blue eyes. I turned around. I walked up the street. I had this feeling, and I turned around, and there was no place for him to go. There was no car to him to get in. The corner was too far away. He was gone. He was gone.
Interesting.
And I knew by the time I entered my place, which was a block away, I was almost certain he was an angel.
Well, I kind of...
Oh, wow. An angel of Santa Monica. That's great.
Love that. And, well, real quick, I didn't want to leave Kim hanging on. So, Kim, can you get to your question real quick for Dr. Judith?
Yeah, it's just a long time ago people, you know, were saying to control your dreams and be aware when you're dreaming. Well, I've done that, and now I'm at the point to where I'm aware I'm in my dream, but there's not the imagination anymore. It's like taken away because
dreaming. Don't do it anymore then.
Then don't do that anymore.
No. Just allow them to happen. The imagination will come back.
There you go. If you think about it too much, you know, you can't make jazz.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Got to let the jazz happen.
Right.
Well, always a pleasure. You know that.
Oh, I've loved being on the show tonight, Ian. Thank you for having me.
If we won't be emailing, I'll be texting you, whatever. We'll be in touch. And thank you for making this happen on such short notice. It was just perfect. And hope you enjoy a beautiful week. Everybody else out there, we'll see you in a month. Deus te amat. And I do too.